It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Thank you, and welcome back to another show of Adventures in Business. This is Amy, your co-host. I'm here with Lisa, of course. How are you doing, Lisa?
Fantastic, Amy. I am super excited about our guest today, but how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Enjoying a little bit of a cooler weather, although I'm sure it's a short break. So that's good. Summer is, still marching on. So I'm not sweating as much today as I was last time we recorded sitting in my office. So I'm doing good. How are you? Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I felt it was beautiful weather. We had a baby shower. My granddaughter's expecting her first child. So we're looking forward to bringing another one into the fold. We have a big family.
Yeah, you do. That's nice. And you're so involved. That's so great. You're such a good grandma. Yeah. Even though it's bananas to me that you're a grandma or a great grandma, but that's cool. Yeah. So, all right. Enough about us. Who we got?
Yes. Oh my goodness. I am so excited to have Rena Risper on our show today. I had the pleasure of running into her again in some of the networking circles that we do. PNC Bank was doing a women's week and we happened to run into each other there. So Rena, welcome to our show. How are you?
Thank you so much. And as a business person, I just want to say two things, Lisa. I've known you for quite some time, watched you build your business, and you are a great resource for many people. And Amy, I watched you grow from the beginning. And so one of the things I would like to tell business people is that you never know who is watching you. So always do the right things, maintain honesty and integrity. And if you don't, or if you can't, make sure you apologize when a person brings an issue to you, because it's important that you keep your brand clear of any shenanigans.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, keep your shenanigans to yourself, maybe offline. Right. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yes. And in this world of social media and instant, right? Everything is so instantaneous. It is very challenging because, like you said, Rena, you never know who's watching. And thank you for that. I appreciate what you just shared.
The first thing that you need to do when you're talking to people is to tell them how they have impacted you. Even though you may not have known that, that's important to me when I am communicating with other people, because I'll know dogs' names. I'll know that you just had a grandchild. That is the positive thing about social media. I have so many members, followers, but I do take the time out to look, see, and I love it because the way my mind, social media works like my mind does, it's just one thing after the next. So I just keep that. I'm a New Yorker, so I love activity beyond activity. So social media really helps me keep focused in Lansing, because Lansing's kind of slow moving. But when you get out on social media, I have so many pages for the newspaper and so many pages for my nonprofit. And I keep track of what everyone else is doing because I've been on social media for so long. There is also something called crisis management that people need to learn how to do for themselves, because sometimes you will not be able to stop the shenanigans. However, you may be able to stave off the negative reaction to such shenanigans. And when you are a public figure, it becomes very important to do that. And you realize that there are people who don't realize that you are actually a human being with real feelings, and you get up and you put on one orange sock and one purple sock, and you know, your makeup from yesterday is on your forehead, you know, but it's the truth. It's the truth. I mean, we are just human beings living in this world, and the expectation sometimes from others when you are in business, it's so expansive and so overwhelming. I would suggest that everyone who's in business, get yourself a therapist, because you could talk about anybody to the therapist and they're not going to say anything.
Yeah.
When you start talking about your friends, your coworkers, your love life to the people who are around you, you just never know. I feel like I'm living in the Cold War days sometimes. I'm like, wait a minute, should I say that? Let me take that back. So it's really important that you have someone you trust that you can talk to. And your mental health in business is very important, because people only see you one way.
Yeah. You got to be always like on, you know, when you're out marketing or networking and things like that. It's true. It's a lot of pressure, and you are your business. Your business is you. That kind of thing. So, and we talk a lot on the show about our support systems and having other friends that are business owners and things like that to get, you know, to understand, because it's owning a business is just something unique, and can be lonely.
Imagine being in Black owned media.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So
yeah. So let's dive into that. Tell our audience, who you are, what you do.
I am the president and publisher of the New Citizens Press newspaper. It is 21 years old. I'm very proud to say that I made it through the pandemic. Nice. Only because you have to learn how to code switch. So right. I went directly to social media. I went directly to upgrading my website, number one and number two. Because I couldn't go outside to deliver newspapers. I couldn't, you know, deliver newspapers inside. So I just started working my social media. I started the newspaper in 2001, but actually printed my first edition in 2002. So I worked at a large insurance company, and I wasn't really happy. I mean, I was like, working so hard. Let me tell you something. When people tell you that women need to work twice as hard, don't do it, because you're not going to get a raise. You're not going to get promoted. You're just going to be there working twice as hard, taking the place of two employees. Okay. You just work well and work well enough so that you don't get high blood pressure, diabetes. And y'all have to excuse me. I'm a New Yorker. When I get excited, the accent comes out. So It's all about, you know, maintaining balance with yourself. So I was like, I'm not really happy. I had difficulties getting pregnant with my daughter, and I finally had her in April. And when I had my daughter, I thought to myself, you know what? My life has really got to change. I'm working so hard and I'm breastfeeding, and my ex-husband used to have to bring her up to my job. Thank God. You know, that was okay. But I'm like, this is not it. So to make a long story short, I'm from the Caribbean, and I was at the Caribbean Festival at LCC, and this guy was walking around. He had on these mirrored sunglasses and this square briefcase. And I thought to myself, who carries around a square briefcase anymore? So I was like, this is interesting, you know? So he walks up to me and says, hey, you know, I'm the owner of, you know, this newspaper. It was called the Metroplex at the time. It was run by Conrad Parrish. And I said, you know what? I don't write like that. I write for corporations. I'm a corporate writer. I answer complaints. So my complaint writing is quite different. But I called him back and said, I'm going to New York on September 5th. 2001. So I go to New York to the Caribbean Festival. There's all these beautiful, you know, people playing Moss. Playing Moss is when we wear the costumes and the big, it's like Caribana in Toronto. So, I mean, when these people in Brooklyn, New York heard that I was a reporter from Michigan, you would have thought I was a movie star because I wanted to be in a newspaper.
And I'm nice. Like, yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, I'm not really a writer, but I'm going to take it on this information. Okay, you're from Barbados. Okay, you're from Trinidad. Beautiful costumes, beautiful visuals. So I go back on September 6th.
Yep. And then the world changed.
Yeah. Okay. So when I get back, it was about September 6th. It was probably like the Monday, because I went in and was like, you know what? I'm going to be a reporter. I quit. Duh. Yeah. So I quit my job and I did this great story. And then I'm in the doctor's office. Now I'm from New York. My mother works for the airlines. Almost all my family either works for law enforcement, FBI, New York City Police Department, the Mass Transit Authority, which are the police that take care of the train. I'm in the office with my daughter during one of her wellness appointments, and I'm looking up at the screen and I see the first tower hit. And so I immediately thought that I was just watching something out of pocket, like maybe some random TV show. But then I called my father, who was a police officer in the 79th precinct in Brooklyn, to find out what happened. Then I called another friend who works at the World Trade Center. And then I called my cousin, who's a Mass Transit Authority police officer, and I couldn't get in touch with anyone. The lines were just all down. And at that point, I said to myself, you better call your other family that works for the airlines to make sure they're okay. Because a lot of times when you're in the airlines, you may fly with other airlines if you can't get a seat on your specific airline.
Right.
My mother still works for Delta right now. I mean, we're just airline law enforcement. We're flying law enforcement people.
Okay.
So yeah, it was just really, really crazy. And I just quit my job. I had never seen Wall Street stop. And I'm like, I just had this little baby and I just quit my job, but I'm going to keep it pushing. So I was supposed to be partners with this person. It didn't quite work out. And I got into a car accident. And I was just sitting at home and I was like, you know what? You don't know anything about reporting or anything, but you know what? Why don't you just start your own newspaper? Because you have to separate yourself. And that's another thing. Business people know when to separate yourself from things that are not working for you. You have the conversation. If it doesn't work out, smile and just say, I don't think this is working out for me. I would love to, you know, partner with you maybe on some other, you know, projects, but being partners is not working out for me. So get into this car accident. I take this entrepreneurial class. And at the end of the class, I was really, really sick. And, you know, I'm getting all of my things together. I'm like, what is Quark Express? So Quark Express is the program that's equal to Adobe InDesign. I'm like, I don't know what Adobe InDesign is, so I'm going to stick with Quark. So in January, I'm getting really sick. I'm supposed to be putting my first edition out in February of 2002. I have this baby. I'm breastfeeding. I'm doing all of these things. And I go to this one event. It was my first event. And I'm going to be really honest. It was an event with people who looked just like me, and they would not let me in to do a story.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. And so, wow. Yeah, that was really interesting, heartbreaking for me, and told me I could stand outside these double doors and listen through the double doors to do my story.
They must have just been press adverse in general. Like they just didn't want any press or... Yeah.
No, yeah. They okay. were not. Everyone okay. else was inside. Mm.
Right.
Except for me.
Okay.
Except for you. That's unfortunate.
It's really unfortunate. But what people need to understand is that when you're in the Black press, a lot of people don't realize that we are trusted by the community we serve. We're not usually writing about shenanigans. We're not taking AP, we're not using AP stories. We're actually going out to the people and finding out what happened after the murder, what happened after the breast cancer diagnosis, what happens when you figure out that you have diabetes. Let's celebrate your twin 90-year-old family member's birthday. I want to know what they did in their life, how they got to Michigan. What was the course that they took? Did you know, were they from Alabama and their husband came up first to Lansing to work at GM or the Forge or wherever it is? That's what I love about what I do. So getting back to me, I get into this accident, I'm feeling sick. And in February, I go to this thing and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go home. I'm feeling sick. And oh my gosh, I go to the doctor and find out that I'm having another baby.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
All right.
No wonder you weren't feeling good.
I was thinking to myself, you know, when you breastfeed, you know, you have absence events. So, oh my goodness. I mean, I was just shocked. And not only was I pregnant, but I was like almost 4.5 months pregnant. So my daughter was born in April and my son was born the next year in July. And I'm just starting a newspaper in February of 2002.
Right.
In February. I started in February, had a little baby, a 10-year-old, and had a baby. So I went into labor at the CATA bus station delivering newspapers. And that's how I actually got popular, because the Lansing State Journal found out that I went into labor at the bus station, drove myself to Sparrow. Thank God it wasn't far. And was in there in labor in between contractions, editing the newspaper because I had a deadline date.
You're a rock star, man.
Awesome. Woo. I love it.
It's really not about being a rock star. It's just about what we do.
Yeah.
Doing you. Yeah.
I just think that when you're really passionate about what you do, you will do anything. Listen, if you need a brick wall built, you will get yourself a book at a Home Depot, figure out how to mix up the cement and build that wall. And also you will make sure that you have a good foundation. Mm-hmm. And that is all what is important about being a business owner. I don't care how people perceive me as a person, but when it comes to my business, you can't say anything to me. Yes, you know, we're not perfect, but we do get into, you know, people's lives. If we're talking about a mother who has lost her child, we're talking about the day before when, you know, she was walking through the schoolyard picking lilacs for her mother and laying them on her bedside. And her mom, you know, asked her for a glass of water. However, she could not get up to say goodbye to her child who was killed the next day. Mm-hmm. We make it into something that is, you know, palatable for everyone to understand, regardless of race. So we have a lot of readers who call me.
So I have two questions for you. The first one is, where do people sign up to get your newspaper?
Oh, I'm getting into that because this is Amy, right? So Amy doesn't know, you know, I've been following her and her branding stuff. And I decided, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to rebrand because, look, my newspaper has looked the same since I started. Well, not really. It went through two changes. Brian, the artist Brian Whitfield, did my second masthead. But I was looking at Amy's stuff and she's talking about branding. So I decided to go to Upwork and hire a graphic design artist to redo and rebrand. And I wanted somebody outside of the area. Just, I don't know why. But I just got it all rebranded and I got my website rebranded. I have subscriptions online. You can pay. You can donate online. You can even do advertisements online. So my website is www.tncp. That is www.t as in Tom, N as in Nancy, C as in Cat, P as in Paul.net. So I would do this whole rebranding. And then, like a psycho, I decided to get my website updated from 2008. Let me tell you, business people, if you decide to get your website updated, please remember that anything that can go wrong may go wrong. And you will just have to apologize a lot. And you will just have to be patient with your web designer, because your web designer is not you. Your web designer is not in your head. Sometimes people just think to themselves what they would do, but it might not be what you would do. So I think that in business, a lot has to do with having patience with everyone that you work with, including your, you know, the people who write for you. But if there is a deadline, Rena does not play around with that deadline. You better have your stuff in, because I will be stressing and that is not what we want to do. So I always have a story in the bucket. That's what I always say. I always have a story in the bucket. So I try to keep my blood pressure down. And I've realized that I can't dictate what other people do or the things that they go through, whether it's hospitalization, whether it's my child is ill. I need to be prepared for all of that. So that's what I do. I have stories in the bucket and I work with that. So I think that one of the best things that happened to me this year is I went to Black-owned Media Weekend in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Let me tell you, I didn't know what to expect. It was all paid for. They just wanted Black media to be able to get together because we're so isolated. I mean, usually when you have media sources, there's always this source of contention. And me, I'm like, why can't we all just work together, whether it's Black media or mainstream media? Why can't we just all work together? But it doesn't quite work out that way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need to realize that in business, not everyone is like you. Not everyone's going to be fair. Not everyone's going to like you. And you need to keep it moving. I say that Kim is my best friend. Keep it moving. K-I-M. That's my, you know, I put it right on my computer, on my, you know, if I have a problem, I go look for my best friend, Kim.
I love that. I love that.
So they flew us down there. When I got to Tulsa, I was like, it was so hot down there. I could smell my kidneys cooking, okay? Let me tell you something. There was no color on the ground. There were no flowers anywhere, okay? And I'm in the airport. You know, I'm all fancy, my Michigan or New Yorker self. And I'm thinking to myself, what have I gotten myself into? But they picked us up from the airport and everything. And my guy that picked me up, he was playing smooth jazz. He was like, don't worry about it. It's going to be hot, but don't worry. But everybody had this Oklahoma Southern drawl, which I didn't expect either. You know, when I first came to Michigan, I didn't expect people to be from Mexico or the South. I'm from the Caribbean. Everybody in New York, you know, basically is from the Caribbean, first, second generation Americans. And I worked at the United Nations. So I was so used to having all these things going on in my life that was so cultural, but not U.S. geographical cultural, but world cultural. So Michigan was an absolute shock to me. And when I first got here, I decided that I was going to do research. Now, what I will say is if anybody is sending their children away to college, I would suggest that you go out and find both the Black newspaper and the mainstream newspaper so you could see what's going on, because the college is not going to tell you. The job is not going to tell you, but the newspapers will have information in it that you are not going to get from someone who is trying to employ you or someone who is trying to make $30,000 per mm-hmm. semester for you to go to school. So I get down there. It was just amazing. I walk in there and the guy's like, we're going to give you an east room. Make sure you keep the shades closed and keep the air conditioning on high. I'm like, okay. Honey, when I got in there, I felt like an ice cream cone in the middle of August. It was so hot. And I thought to myself, I was going to walk everywhere. That was not a good idea. But I got early and I walked to Black Wall Street and I was immediately taken aback. As a first generation American, I was so taken aback and emotional. They had little plaques on the sidewalk where, you know, houses or businesses formerly were. And so I'm walking, they put a baseball field right on the top of where the massacre occurred. And then you walk around the corner and there are like three old buildings. And then there's a big highway right through it. And I was emotionally taken aback just by the, you could just tell something happened here. You could feel it. It was very, very strange. So I almost immediately turned around and went back to the hotel, but I said, you can't do that. You have to keep going. I'm very empathic. And it was a very tough experience. But what I will say is I met so many people, Black Wall Street Times, the Cleveland Observer, Afro News. I'm like, where did your people come from? I'm just like, you know, it was the greatest experience to have some type of camaraderie. So every Thursday now, we have a group that meets. And we commiserate, and we started something called the Black Headline News, and we stream all of our stories collectively on Black Headline News.
Rena, where do you find your stories? Where do you, that you're publishing and writing about?
Sometimes people call me, and sometimes I just find things interesting. You could be outside selling lemonade, and then I find out that your grandma used to grow lemons in Mississippi, and you know she used to, you know, put you up on the table. I mean, I love those kinds of stories, and I don't care if you're whatever race you are, if that's the story that needs to be told. Lemonade doesn't have a color. You know, nor does breast cancer. I mean, there's some certain things that apply to Black women. But if I'm doing a story on someone who is not Black, I will do their story and then put in the story how different it is for Latinas or Black women. And that's where I find that there's this huge problem with society where we're so busy separating each other and pulling out the... And there are some differences in, as far as, you know, diseases and diabetes and the way that we handle things. But for the most part, can we support each other?
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can we hear the stories from the mothers of murder victims 2 years from the murder?
Yeah.
Can we do that? Can we bring ourselves to think about how COVID has impacted families? Can we bring ourselves to have a conversation about the child who brought COVID home and then their parent died?
Right.
I mean, what are we going to do with this? And can we please do research instead of just listening to the people who just want to, because what happens is they just disappear. People just disappear.
Yeah, my one of my biggest pet peeves is people who just like will share a link, share a headline, and you can tell all they did was read the headline. Like they didn't even actually read the article. And you're like, well, you know, maybe you would have felt differently about it if, you know, you had actually read the article. That's so irritating to me. I have a journalism degree from Michigan State. And yeah, and my when I was younger, what I wanted to be was a National Geographic reporter. Like I wanted to travel the world with my photographer and like write these crazy things. And I've never had a full-time job in the media, but I've used my writing skills and everything that I've done. But I have a very special place in my heart for media and journalists, and especially what we're all going through in that field right now. But so going back to what Lisa asked you, so is your newspaper generally focused on this area, or do you do stories from all over now that you're more?
I do stories. Are all of our relatives from this area?
No. Yeah.
No.
Do we just eat Michigan apples?
No.
I mean, listen, okay. we live in one of the most, somebody needs to tell Andy Shore that we need to get some Lansing swag so we could have a store so that when people come to visit, they could put a shirt on that says, I've been to Lansing, Michigan. We have insurance companies. We have educational opportunities here. We have LCC.
Right.
We have Western.
Whatever
Western
they are now. Michigan. Yeah.
Whatever they're called now.
Yeah.
Hooley Law School for the old people like me.
Yeah.
We have Jackson National, Farm Bureau, Accident Fund, Michigan Millers.
Yeah, we got a lot.
We have the hospitals.
Yeah.
Michigan State University, University of Michigan, the University Center, LCC, Davenport.
Yeah, we've got a lot. So we had Malik on not too long ago, Metro Malik, and he actually opened a store in Old Town that has just recently, I think in the last month, that has Lansing Made t-shirts and things like that, that have like, that's his brand, Lansing Made, but it's all about Lansing stuff. So we've got that at least. And I haven't been down to check out his
website. About pictures of the Capitol.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily love branding, but we are Lansing all over the place. We are flower people. We are horticulturalists in our own right. You know, during the pandemic, I started a Lansing area houseplant SWAT group.
Nice.
We were running around with masks on during the pandemic, picking up pieces of plants and had a good time for free.
Nice.
It was SWAT for free. Anyone who needed to, and we taught a lot of people about how to grow indoor houseplants, because where were we? We were inside the house. So
absolutely.
I made so many friends from that. I'm just saying that we need just, you know, when you go to the airport and you like, oh, Atlanta here and Atlanta there, and you know, you go to Walgreens in Powder Springs, Georgia, and they have Georgia shirts with a peach on it. You know, yeah, I mean, come on now. Yeah. I mean, I would love, and that's what we need to support our local businesses. I always get gift packages, Michigan jelly. I go to the Old Town store and buy soap, goat soap. You know, New Yorkers are like, goat soap? What's that? You know, so it's a great thing. I would like to give honor to my mother, who is a really amazing person. She works for Delta, and she just got the Chairman's Club Award for being one of the most helpful Delta employees. And I was in Atlanta this weekend. I only flew home so that I could have this conversation with you all. But she's sitting at the table outside and she's watching me. And she said, you know, I just want you to know that I really admire you. I don't know. Listen, I thought I was going to pass out. I was like, oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
To hear that from your mom, yeah.
To hear that from my mom. And I'd also, you know, whoever's listening out there, please tell your adult children that you love them. Please tell them that you admire them. please tell your parents that you love them and you admire them and thank them for, you know, giving you those little Lorna Doone cookies when you were crying because you busted up your knee. Bring back the good memories and hold on to that really, really dearly, because when we're going through our own normal space of being, sometimes we forget that people actually do love us, but to verbalize that is difficult because we're so used to that. Oh, they just know. Oh, they know I love them. They know I admire them. That is so not true. Just my mother saying those words to me really, I don't know what happened. I think a cry was coming from my pinky toe. My knee stopped it because I didn't want to distract her from what she was talking about. But really, really take care of the people around you. Tell them how much you appreciate them. It's really important. We're suffering right now from a lot of mental, you know, health issues, just, you know, depression, you know, bipolar, and undiagnosed individuals or individuals who are suffering from invisible diseases fibromyalgia and lupus and all of these things that could be occurring. Just be kind to people. And, you know, my hashtag is love people. Hashtag love people, because you don't need to like them, but love them.
Right.
It's all about you and how you process things within your internal being. And it takes up a lot of energy. And, you know, one of my first things that I said when I was practicing for the show was that I was going to tell Amy how I've been following her. And I was going to tell Lisa that I've known her since, you know, I don't know. I think I've been, you've been gone through so many things. I used to see you at all the events and I used to be standing in the corner wallflower, just, you know, soaking in all of the energy. And you were just flitting around, flip.
Oh, she knows everybody.
I know.
And she's also really good at bringing people in. Like if I don't know if this happened to you, but like noticing people that like, hey, how are you? Come meet this person. She's very good at including people and making, that's why you make a good ambassador for the chamber, Lisa.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll get a little more of that. One of the main questions that you asked me, like who would I say that I think would be a good guest for the show? I know, I'm not really sure if you do nonprofits.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, absolutely.
I have a friend of mine, her name is Miranda, and her son was murdered. Actually, her son and her son's brother, both of them were murdered, and she's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
When you think about starting a nonprofit to help people and their main focus is forgiveness.
Wow.
This woman,
that's powerful.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. The year of the Christmas that her son was murdered, she went and purchased Christmas gifts for the murderer's child.
Wow, how powerful.
That's very powerful. And those are the stories that I love. And I think that even though we're in business, I mean, Lisa, you could be the greatest peach jelly maker in the world that you learned from your grandma from Texas. You know, I love those stories. I love those kinds of stories. Mm-hmm. And Amy, let me tell you something. You could always be a travel writer. Hashtag Amy Travel Writer.
Right.
Go right to Lake Lansing and talk about Lake Lansing. You could do all of the murals.
Yeah.
Do like that's a story true. For Lansing.org. You can do our sculptures. You could do the Japanese garden. You see, I'm trying to get you to work.
Hey, let's talk offline. Listen, yeah.
Listen, we have so many things here.
Mm-hmm. We do. Yeah.
Here. And I don't think that this is what I'm saying. It's not like it's just about who we are collectively as a people. We have beautiful places. I mean, we live in this state capital,
mm-hmm.
yes. state capital. Yeah. We used to have poetry in the city every year from, I mean, I think our youngest was 3 and our oldest was 90. You get 3 minutes on the Capitol steps to spit some poems or a line or do whatever. But you know what's going to be so important? That picture of you on the Capitol steps. That is what makes it work. Yeah. That's such a beautiful thing. And people are like, I performed on the Capitol steps.
Right.
Get to do that, except legislators.
Yeah.
You know, legislators get to do that and people speaking. But
yeah.
It's been, I mean, I can go on talking forever because I just love to talk.
You have shared so many amazing pieces of valuable information, and we are so forever grateful. And we could probably continue and do a half day interview because there's so much. And yeah, Rena, we're so grateful for you and so grateful for your perseverance, right? When you started talking how you came out of this, you could have quit. You could have done something else. And yet you continue to persevere and you're doing what Amy and I, we love people to come and tell their stories. And you are that platform where others can come and you get to tell their story through interview and questioning. And thank you so much for being here. And I'm hoping that all of the listeners log on to your site, sign up, and get the newspaper, get the news, hear what you have to share. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to seeing you in the community and continue doing what you do, making a difference.
Yeah. And thank you too. And to go on with what Lisa said, I think it's more important now than ever to get news from lots of sources.
Absolutely.
And lots of perspectives and that kind of thing, to have a well-rounded news education and not just pick like one TV station or one source. Cause that, you know, that they say they're unbiased. Everyone tries to be, but it's really good to just have that lots of perspectives, especially if perspectives of people that like don't look like you or live differently. And I love what you said. I hoped our listeners picked up on that. If you're child is looking to go off to college in a different state, look at the news of that area. That is such good tip and advice and information. That's just find out what's going on in that town, not just the campus.
Right. So,
yeah.
I want to thank you both. Again, my website is www.tncp.net and you can reach me at renarisper.tncp@gmail.com. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you both, Lisa and Amy, and hopefully I'll see you in person soon.
Absolutely. And just, of course, for our listeners, know that we'll have all the links to Rena's contact information in the show notes so you can find it there if you didn't quite catch that. And thank you, Rena. Let's talk. Let's talk about your newspaper. I'd love to. And maybe possibly writing. That's cool. So anyway, thanks again for being on our show. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on another adventure with us and Rena Risper and her newspaper. And we release episodes every Wednesday now. We've switched that up. You can find us at zediamedia.com. And if you'd like to be a guest on our show, that is also where you go, zediamedia.com. Sign up to be a guest on our show. And we just hope that you have a great day and you go out and find an adventure out there.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at zediamedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to zediamedia.com. That's zediamedia.com and sign up.
This is a Zedia Media Production.